Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody needing a change?
Anybody desiring change in your life? Anybody believing in a change in your life? Well, I'm believing in a change, and I want to believe with you for the change of your life. This is your host, your sister, your friend. This is Minister Von Dumas, coming from you from Tri-Anointed Ministries here in San Antonio, Texas. And we just thank God for another opportunity just to come together and just thank God for all that he's doing in our lives. And I just thank God for the word and how he just gives it to us day after day. Have you been getting anything out of the word? Has it been blessing your heart? Are you taking it with you on your job? Are you bringing it back into your home? Do you see things making a difference in your home as you're now beginning to worship? And all of the words that he's given us, we got to live by those words. We got to make our decisions according to that word. I'm just excited. I get ecstatic just over all of the things that God is sharing with us. That we're able to use those things. We're able to live daily with him, with those things on us. And we just remind each other that the Bible tells us, he says in Psalms that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty. We can rest in the midst of our troubles. We can rest in the midst of our pains. We can rest in the midst of our confusion. long as we continue to tell ourselves, oh, Lord, that, you know, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You're my God in whom I trust. And surely he'll save you from the fowler's snare. So as we continue to just hear from the word, just don't get fat on the word. Share it with someone. Look at the people of the world. We're all out here together. Some or more have got caught up and have a relationship with the Lord. Praise the Lord. May your relationship to continue to grow. Don't get stagnant. Let it grow. Let it grow. Don't put God in a box. He's not through with you yet. And then there's others who are searching, and they have not invited Christ into their life to be their Lord and Savior. They have not repented of their sins. So we can't just walk around them daily because we think that we have it going on and not share the word with them. The good news, that's what it is, the good news. You know, as much as people love to gossip, why don't you gossip about the word? You said may offend someone. Well, but it doesn't offend when you go telling other things. If I'm going to offend, let me offend with the word. God said he'll take care of that. We don't have to worry about all of those different things. And he'll take care of their feelings and about all of those things. So just reach out there and just extend it to them. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to share the word. Don't be afraid to share the word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I thank you, Jesus, again for another opportunity just to love and to be loved by you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our scripture tonight is going to come out of the book of Psalms, Psalms 91. We had another one, just wanted to quickly remind us all, too, that, you know, as we worship the Lord, our God, and we serve him, he dwells right here in the midst of the worship that we give to him. So you're looking for him, he's here. Come join him. Invite him into your heart. Psalms 91. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He's my God. Make him personal. He's my God. Someone say that with me. He is my God. Hallelujah. In whom I trust, not the situations around me. He talked to us on last evening about where we keep our eyes, where we keep our trust. In our God. Make him personal. He's my God in whom I trust. Verse 3 says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Isn't that what we're looking for? His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You would not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalk in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. It said 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at the right hand, but it would not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. We spoke on last evening about all will see together the glory of the Lord. As we continue to worship the Lord, as we continue to learn more about worship, dwelling in worship, this is something that's going to strengthen us. The word should strengthen you, give you strength. Hallelujah. Should give you strength. Have you ever heard of the word or the phrase worship wars? It is frequently used to describe what is happening in many of our churches and synagogues and all over the last couple of decades as worship styles have changed. Two words that make up the phrase. Let's look at those again. The word, the phrase is worship wars. Well, worship wars really ought not to go together because worship is holy, it's sacred. And then wars, well, can on a rare occasions be justified, but most often they are the opposite of holy and sacred. Worship, by definition, is all about God. Worship wars are mostly, assuredly, not about God. So worship wars are all about us, about our personal preferences. It's about what we want that causes worship wars. So let's make sure that we understand that. Worship wars is all about us. It's our preference. It's the things that we want. Because worship is all about God. Worship is all about God. So these words really don't even go together. But those of us who are students of church history, we know the current worship wars is nothing new. And as music changes in our society, I mean, the music that is considered to be acceptable in the church changes slowly behind us. Now, if that process never happened, do you realize that we would still be worshiping the Lord through the use of the first century Hebrew tunes? Hallelujah. Just think about it. At one time, chant was the new contemporary music being used in the church. So as time changed, our music changed, what's acceptable in the church slowly changes behind it. We would still be chanting. I read an article recently about an incident that happened at a church in Canada. The controversy wrecked chaos and division in the congregation for over a decade, and it had to do with music and worship, and speeches were made, and petitions were signed, meetings were being held, and, I mean, threats were made, families were divided, and then many people in the left, in the church, left. Was it the older members rebelling against singing choirs or younger members debating over having to sing the old hymns? It went back and forth. But in this particular one, that was not the reason for the worship wars. The controversy was over whether or not it was appropriate to use an organ in the worship service. And it raged amongst the members of the St. Andrews during the 80s. But not the 1980s. It was in the 1880s. Worship wars. Nothing new. This is a subject that is near and dear to my heart because the vast majority of many ministers in my ministry career has been spent, you know, loving worship. You know, even leading worship at time to time. And as it is usually the case, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. The heart of the big matter of the worship wars usually is a matter of the heart. So when we take our eyes off the one that we are worshiping, and then we begin to focus on how we are worshiping, then that's when it becomes a matter of the heart. We have a heart problem. See, when we cause or even participate in conflict in our churches over the boils down to our personal preferences, we have a heart problem. You said, but I didn't start it. Again, let me just repeat. When we cause it, or even when we choose to participate in conflicts in our churches, it not only takes our eyes off of the one that we're worshiping, but it takes the ones that are around you who's trying to still keep their eyes on the one that we're worshiping. It gets their attention. It takes them away from worship. So what it boils down to is we have a heart problem. Now, there are those of us who would say that they're not fighting for their personal preferences. I hear you as you say that. I hear you say that, you know, that we're not fighting to keep worship holy and acceptable to God. But you are. You said, but they are not. But I am. That's why I'm fighting. I'm fighting to keep worship holy. I'm fighting to keep it acceptable to God. And someone else is not, because they're trying to bring this organ in here in the 1880s. Hallelujah. How many here in 2011 may be still experiencing the same worship wars over something, the same little issues? It's still places today that you better not bring any kind of instrument into their church in order to worship. So again, for those of you who are saying, I'm not fighting about my, because this is something that's my personal preference. I'm fighting to keep holy wars, to keep worship holy, and to keep the worship acceptable to God. I would say to you that if you believe that your cultural preferences are tantamount to God's will, you have a heart problem. If you believe that your cultural preferences is the most important thing to God's will, or that it overcomes God's will, then you have a heart problem. Nowhere in God's word does it spell out to us our style of worship. See, the closest it comes to it, that is in two very similar passages in Paul's letters. The first one is in Ephesians 5 and 19. Write that down. Ephesians 5 and 19, and then Colossians 3 and 16 is where we are told to worship God and admonish each other using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Bible scholars and historians disagree on the exact application of those terms, but all agree that they encompass a wide variety of musical styles. And in other words, God's word tells us to use a wide variety of musical styles to worship God and to encourage each other. And when you're in the midst of either causing or participating in worship wars in your church, you're going against the will of God. You're not encouraging anyone to worship God, and you definitely can't be worshiping while you're in the midst of your war. No matter what style of worship you employ in worship, no matter what style of worship, God always focuses on your heart, people. He focuses on your heart. He told the Samaritan woman at the well that the Father is seeking for those, what? He said the Father is seeking for those who will worship him. Worship him in spirit. Worship him in truth. It says that's word. John 2:4-23. That's word. He said that's what he's looking for. So are you or are your church embroiled in a worship war? If so, I urge you to surrender immediately. Surrender. Surrender your will. Surrender your desires. Surrender your personal preferences to God. And then direct your focus towards the one who alone is worthy of your worship, who alone is worthy of your adoration. Worship is not about us, people. Worship is not about us. Worship is all about him. Worship is all about him. It's not some. Our worship should be all about him. We get so caught up and we get so confused. What it really means to be a worshiper. That's what we're talking about tonight. Just what does it really mean? Did you know that there is a reason for your existence? And it's not to be caught up in some war. God knew you before you were even formed into a fetus. He had a specific plan for your life, my sister. Your life, my brother, for me. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, and they are not to harm you. They're to bring you love. So your job while you're here on earth is not to choose your destiny, but it is to discover it. Many people search for fulfillment in their lives, their entire lives. They're searching for fulfillment. And they never find it because they fail to discover their purpose of life. God is the creator of all things. That means your life is not a mere coincidence. And it's not a mistake. I don't care what you've been told. The role that you are, if you're adopted, it's not a mistake. Sometimes he said, I will move things out of the way. I will move people out of your way because I know the plans I have for you. And if it means I got to move you from this biological parent and set you over here to some parents that's going to do the will of God, that's what I do. Your life is not a mere coincidence. Your life is not a mistake, but it's a part of his plan. And he has a specific assignment for you. Do you know what it is? If not, here's 10 questions quickly that's going to help you discover your true destiny. The first one, we're going to come out of Psalms 34:37-4. Write these down. The first question is, what is your deepest desire? What is your deepest desire? Think about it. Psalms 37:4 tells us that it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and then he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So when you decide to serve God, he will actually give you the desire to do what you were created to do. You will know it is a God-given desire because it will line up with the word. Hallelujah. Question two, what stirs your passion? What stirs your passion, your zeal? Passion is the zeal. It's the enthusiasm. It's that excitement and intensity that you feel about things that are important to you. What stirs your passion? It will stir you to action, make you want to do something about it. What bothers you the most? God may be calling on you to find a solution to a problem. It just bothers you. He may be calling on you to find a solution to that problem. You're just passionate about it. He may be calling on you to be a solution to that problem. What stirs your passion, ladies and gentlemen? Number three, what naturally flows out of you? And again, these will all be available to you. You can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can always leave a message here to Blog Talk. And you're welcome to call in at 646-652-4916. Hallelujah. What naturally flows out of you? Have you ever taught someone how to do something that, excuse me, that you could do with your eyes closed? It may have seemed very simple to you, but complex to them. What is that natural talent or that natural ability that you have that others do not? You said, I don't think I have one. Pray about it. God is not a liar. And all, he's given all talents. You were created for a reason. Not for you to think of something just to choose your own destiny, but for you to discover what is already inside of you that you need to find to bring out. We talked about opening up your treasure chest and just letting the Holy Spirit flow inside of you until it just comes out and overflows. You will know your passion. You will then know your deepest desires and see them come true. You'll be able to just know what naturally flows out of you. You'll be surprised, some of you, to see what comes out of you. Hallelujah. The fourth one, again, is where do you get real results? In Luke 13, 6 and 9, Jesus gave us a time guideline for how long it should take to try something out, as we should say. He gives us a timeline. How long it should take to try something out, such as a job or our career or even our ministries or our business. It's Luke 13:6-9. I invite you, even as we go off of the air, we still got 15 more minutes left. But come back in and check out the archives. Download the message to your MP3 players. Whatever you do, don't let the word go without you. So again, he gave us an example of a man who had a fig tree in his vineyard. And he had been checking for 3 years to see if it was producing fruit. Jesus asked the question, why Cumberland is the ground? This was a nice way of Jesus just asking, why is this thing taking up space? What is taking up space in your life, sisters and brothers? What's taking up space in your life? What's keeping you from producing the fruit that you should be doing? Producing your passion. What's taking up space in your life? Have you looked back on that thing and saw that it's just been weighing you down? Is it a relationship? Is it a job? Is it something that you're calling your business, your career? Where do you get real results? You get them by checking yourself, doing a daily inventory to see what is weighing me down. What's keeping me from producing? Number five, what is the witness of the Holy Spirit in your spirit? What is the witness of the Holy Spirit in your spirit? God will confirm the plan that he has for your life. He will confirm the plans that he has for your life. He will sometimes speak through your dreams or and sometimes through visions or even in a still, small voice. That's why it's so good to get yourself away from everything else sometimes. Turn the TV off. Turn the ringer down on the phone. And just get into a still place where you can hear from God. Hallelujah. He needs us to rest and get our rest. Because he works through our dreams many times. He works through visions. Hallelujah. He shows visions. He will make sure that he gets his message to you. I don't care one way or another. He will make sure that he gets his message across to you. The thing is, are you listening? To hear and recognize his voice clearly, you must position yourself by spending time seeking him, diligently praying and studying his word. If you were seeking after a spouse or a friend or somebody who had something that you really wanted, you would make out time. It's the same here. You got to listen. And in order for you to hear it and be able to recognize his voice and know that it is he who's speaking to you, we spoke about a sheep knowing his shepherd's voice. And a stranger he would not follow. How will you know that voice? How does the babies know the voice of their parents? Because they're around that voice. They're used to hearing that voice. And you got to learn to hear. And in order to listen so you can hear it and recognize his voice clearly, you got to position yourself, sisters and brothers. And you only do that by spending time seeking him. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. You got to do it in diligently just praying to him and then studying his word to show yourself worthy. That's how the witness of the Holy Spirit in your spirit will just explode and just come out, touching your gifts, touching your talents, where it would naturally flow out of you, where you can get your results. Number six, what do material Christians see in you? Now, keep in mind that a mature Christian is not just someone who has been saved for a while, but instead a mature Christian is a believer who consistently makes decisions based on the Word of God. It's not an age thing. You can be young, you can be middle-aged, you can be old. It's not an age thing. It doesn't matter how long you've been born again. But a believer who consistently makes decisions based on the Word of God, that is a mature Christian. Mature Christians can give you good advice about seeking God's will for your life. A mature Christian. You should run to mature Christians for good advice. Why is the world running away from advice? No one wants anything advice anymore. It's only going to help you along the way faster. It's almost like giving you some answers to a test. But you're saying, no, I'd just rather sit here and struggle and try to figure out A, B, C, D, use another method. Shame on you. Number seven, what career or ministry do you feel the peace of God about pursuing? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Again, Philippians, New Testament, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, says to pray with thanksgiving. And then let your requests be known to God. You know, sometimes we find ourselves, we're praying, and all we're doing is just asking, God, I need this, and God, I need that, and give me this, and give me that. No parent wants their child running to them, just give me, give me, give me, give me. You know, they just want their child to spend time with them, enjoy them. So he says, pray with thanksgiving, just talking to God with thanksgiving, and then let your requests be known to him. As you come in thanksgiving, as you're in prayer. And then he says, and he will bring you peace about the things that concern you. How many people right now is needing some peace in the midst of your situation? You got decisions that are not just falling, the bottom's falling out of them. You get ready to start one thing and you think that this is where you're going to be and you get excited and that doesn't work. You think this is the person that God has sent for you and something turns around and that doesn't work. He said he will bring peace to you about the things that concern you. Let the peace of God in your spirit, man, guide you and confirm his will for your life. Again, just let the peace of God, let it enter your spirit. And let that spirit, man, guide you and confirm God's will for your life. What thoughts, visions, or dreams are impossible to put out of your mind is number eight. God speaks to us in various ways. He will give you thoughts, visions, dreams. We just spoke about that. But your job is to recognize when it's God's message and when it is not. You don't know God has given you a dream or a vision or a concept when you have spent time seeking him. He will confirm it through his word, always, as well as through people who may speak into your life about the same situation. He said, well, how did you know that, evangelist? How did you know that, pastor? In addition, you will see situations and circumstances line up to make your dream or your vision come to pass. Doors will just start to open. Not because you're just sitting there doing nothing, because you're out there seeking him, because you're out there working on this passion. You're working on this dream. You're following through on the word of God. You're hearing his instructions, and you're following through. Number nine, what goal or ambition can you dedicate yourself to 100% for the rest of your life? Is there something you can do for hours and really enjoy it? What career or job could you do for the rest of your life? When you discover your purpose, it will incorporate all of your gifts, all of your talents and strengths, and you will have a passion. You'll have such a passion for it that it will enable you to do even when you're tired, you're still get enjoyment out of doing it. Hallelujah. And last but not least, what do people volunteer to help you accomplish? What do people volunteer to help you accomplish? When you find what you were created to do, God will send people. He will send opportunities and resources to help you along the way. Is there something you do that people want to support? When you get into that place, you will find total fulfillment. Don't waste another moment trying to find satisfaction in all the wrong places. If you find God's true purpose for your life, you will find your satisfaction. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for another word, another day. We thank you, dear Father, that the word may strengthen us and lead us and guide us. That it's just not something that we've heard tonight and we're going to let go, but we're going to hold on to it, and we're not just going to just let it sit there, but we're going to start applying it to our lives. And we're going to share the word on our jobs. We're going to share the word in our homes. And we're going to make a difference. We're going to make a difference. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do you know what it means to be made whole? If you died today, are you for sure, 100% for sure, of where you would be? What would happen to you? Where would you go? If you say, well, I'm not even for sure that there is a God. If you died tonight, what if there is a God? What if you're wrong? I come to remind you, as God uses me just to get to you, to let you know that God loves you, and he wants to heal every area of your life. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to set you free. To set me free, your family members free from sin, free from sickness and death. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would be honored to introduce you to the greatest friend you ever have. As you say these words, if you believe them in your heart, you will be born again and made in right relationship with the Father. It's a good thing to know that you're in right relationship with the Father. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. And it's just that simple. God has made it simple for us to get to him. He's your creator. He loves you. If you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, it says, old things are passed away, so behold, all things are become new. That means forget about all the things you did in your past. You'll learn to understand that those things is just going to be a testimony for you. That mess you made is going to be your message that's going to heal you and bring you close to your true worship, your true worshiper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All of heaven is celebrating with you. And you have a brand new life with Jesus and an abundant future filled with faith and hope. It's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. And we would love to hear from you. We would love to hear from you. We would love to send out any magazines, Bibles, anything that would help encourage your work, your walk, and your work in your divine worship experience with our Father. We would also like to just, again, lead you to any church in your area, pray over it, get in contact with pastors. It's important that you find your brook, that you have a covering. No one will stand out in the pouring rain. You want covering. We're in a battle. This is a battleground. You need covering. Don't let the enemy tell you that you don't need anybody, that you can do this all by yourself, that you can't trust anybody. You need covering. We would love to give you anything that will help you on your new life with Jesus Christ. Just let us know. Again, you can reach us at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave a message here to Blog Talk Radio. You can give us a call at 210-253-9093. We love you here at the ministry. We're praying for all of the shut-in, and special prayers for Mighty Cruz Cisneria and her family. And just Mighty for you and Richard and the girls, and that you open your heart up to receive something that's going to remove a lot of that anxiety or the things that may get you angry. And you're searching for it, and God is here with the answer. He wants to comfort you. Bless all the families that are in bereavement. We love you. Until tomorrow, good night.